Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details and showtimes are online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics, and we are at the Gateway Film Center inside of the very cozy Torpedo Room.
I'm feeling good about it.
You like it?
And we're on video now.
Yeah. You can see a little bit of it. You got to come in and see the rest
of it. Yeah. And, you know, we might as well have a big-time show about the late, meaning the recent, Martin Scorsese. Because look at Wolf of Wall Street is nominated.
Why do you say late and then recent? Why, what does that mean?
Well, I didn't want you to think he was dead.
I thought for a minute maybe I missed it.
No. He did take drugs, but not now.
Okay.
So he's still alive. And
he's still alive.
Wolf of Wall Street still has
really intimidating eyebrows. And he's still hyper and high strung. Although, you know, this is a different Scorsese, John. We may have, I'm sure we have pontificated about this at some point, but let's look at Wolf of Wall Street and late era Scorsese, because this movie is great. Wolf of Wall Street is a lot of fun. It seems to me Scorsese, in a world that he recognizes, I think you always see the best Scorsese movies when he's dealing with people in New York City, usually, hopefully, that's where he thrives, and people on a downward spiral, you know, compromised ethics, compromised morals, and here you find this perfect little situation for him to delve into. DiCaprio playing Jordan Belfort, it's great, it's a great turn. DiCaprio, that shouldn't surprise anybody. No. DiCaprio is one of the best actors of his generation.
He is.
He often gets miscast, I think. DiCaprio's biggest downfall is that his face is too young. I've never thought that he was out of his element psychologically or emotionally. He's always shown great nuance and the ability to take his characters to deep, dark places, intense places. But often, and Scorsese is as guilty of this as anybody, of casting DiCaprio in roles his face is ill-suited for. For instance, Shutter Island. Shutter Island, he's supposed to be this, you know, world-weary detective, and the guy just doesn't look world-weary. He can't pull that off.
Or, the worst, J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But
he was also miscast in Scorsese's The Aviator as Howard Hughes.
As Howard Hughes?
He can't age well. That's, you know, the problem you run into with J. Edgar Hoover. But he doesn't have that kind of face. Now, in a part like this, and in a part like Inception, which is generic,
sure,
you know, he excels. And what I've complained over the years that Scorsese, in his, you know, salad days... Well, wait, would these be his salad days? That's interesting.
Yeah,
now that the guy is making all this money, are these his salad days, or are his salad days the days when he was making the great films of his career?
That's a great question. If you assume that salad days mean he's really at his best.
Yes.
That was a few years ago.
That was a long time ago. Okay,
right.
So let's not say that these are his salad days.
Right.
Let's say these are his post-salad days.
Yeah.
And I've always felt like his films lately in the last 10 to 15 years have felt hollow. They haven't felt true to his aesthetic. But this is like Goodfellas.
Yes.
With stockbrokers.
And so true. When he gets into this mafia motif, I think he does really well.
Yeah.
As he did when he had the Mean Streets, and
sure,
the Taxi Driver and all that. When he gets really down and dirty,
yeah,
he's very good.
Well, think about it. This movie is the same thing as Goodfellas, right?
Yes.
In Goodfellas, you have Ray Liotta at the very beginning as his young man. He falls in love with this lifestyle, the mafioso lifestyle.
Right, right.
He wants nothing more than to be a part of that world. So he studies them. He ingratiates himself with them. And then the rest of the movie is watching this world kind of tear this guy down and, you know, change him and utterly transform him into something ugly,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is. At the beginning of Wolf of Wall Street, DiCaprio he's looking inside of this world. That's where he wants to be. And then these guys just kind of change him.
Do you think that it's too light?
I do think it's too light, and I also, my biggest complaint with this movie is that there's nothing really at stake. You don't really get a sense of Belfort at the outset as somebody who we want to see succeed. We don't want him to lose touch with his, the better part of his nature, you know what I mean? But he doesn't. We don't see any of that. And so the loss is, we don't experience it. We don't experience the loss of his personhood as a tragedy. My other thing, complaint, and I'll turn the mic over to you, is that in Goodfellas, you know, all the peripheral characters were that tapestry. They wove a very realistic tapestry. Right. These guys were guys who, some of them, were in the mafia. They had that patois, and they were genuine and real. And the characters surrounding DiCaprio in this movie don't have that same authenticity. And that was
with the exception of over-the-top Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, but that's a cameo.
I know.
And it's a great cameo, and it's one that sets the tone for the movie. I mean, let's face it, the movie has two scenes near the beginning that tell you exactly what you're what's in store for you. One is a woman's derriere and Leonardo performing some bizarre act, drug act. And then this weird bit of business with Matthew McConaughey in the restaurant. And you add those two things together, and you have the heart and soul, basically, of what this movie is trying to accomplish.
And I thought if McConaughey had stayed on, it would have been a better film, and it would have been closer to what you were talking about in Goodfellas.
Yeah, you're right. Had we gotten a real portrait of that guy and how his influence on Belfort sort of takes him down that path, you know, the
Mephistopheles.
Yeah, Mephistopheles, that sort of influence, that would have been cool.
Well, then I hate to hear what you're going to say about Hugo.
Hugo is another, it's a hollow exercise. I mean, Scorsese is a filmmaker from the streets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He made, it's no coincidence that he made a film called Mean Streets about his early days and his youth and mixing up with those characters. He is so far removed from that filmmaker now. So a movie like Hugo, which is really about the love of cinema and something very close to Scorsese's heart, it should be a home run for that guy.
Yeah.
But he is lost in computer graphics and this ornate aesthetic that is alien to him. And I just feel like his voice gets lost in that.
And an excessive sentimentality.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't need and doesn't work well for him. But
right.
8 years ago, his film won the Oscar.
Yeah, that's stupid. The Departed.
It won the Oscar. How could it be stupid?
It's an entertaining film, and from what I've heard, I should go back and watch it again because it has grown on people over the years.
It has that camaraderie that you liked in Goodfellas.
Yeah, it's, and you know, I always felt like, again, if Scorsese had set it in New York, The Departed might have been better.
Okay.
But he's trying to throw us a curveball, and I think he's trying to throw himself a curveball and get himself in a world that he's not familiar with, but you know, the gangster world of Boston, but it doesn't resonate with him. Well, and then if it doesn't resonate with him, it doesn't resonate with us.
Well, then I'm curious. 12 years ago, he had a film set in New York.
Yeah.
And what do you think about it? That's gritty enough.
The Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Well, that movie is very good in spurts.
Ah, okay.
Daniel Day-Lewis is masterful.
Yes.
His turn as Bill the Butcher is one of the great character turns of the last 25 years.
Yeah.
But again, DiCaprio's a little miscast.
Yep.
He's slightly boyish. He just doesn't look like a guy who's growing up on those brutal streets of, you know, mid-1800 New York. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, then maybe we shouldn't go any further into the previous decade, because that means we'd have to discuss Kundun.
God.
And probably get into other films that you will lacerate.
Wow. Kundun is awful.
You do mention Daniel Day-Lewis, and I'd just like to put in my word here for Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah.
And say that in all the estimates that are out today of how great Hoffman was, and I think he was one of the three best actors of our age, our time. One of the others would be Daniel Day-Lewis. And as I put the two together, I'm not sure. Hoffman might not be better.
No, he's not.
In his range?
He's not better.
Of course not.
He's not better because, look, I'll tell you the same thing. Why Leonardo DiCaprio is so great is because in the right parts, he can transcend his physicality.
Okay.
Other times, his physicality holds him down.
Yes, I got it.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was always the guy he looked like, a variation of that guy.
Okay.
A variation of some sort of doughy, soft,
schlubby
guy. Like, he could play that to comic effect. He could play it to villainous effect. He could play it to fey effect. He could play it many different ways. But ultimately, he was a slave to his own physicality.
You know, that's a great point I hadn't thought about. You know, that Daniel Day-Lewis and Christian Bale both will completely transform themselves.
Yeah.
And Hoffman never really did.
He couldn't. The closest he had gotten was Capote.
Yeah.
And to me, he nailed his gestures and his voice and maybe even the emotional frailty there, but he was just too big of a guy. I mean, you can't play that,
yeah.
You know? And I as much as I like Philip Seymour Hoffman, I mean, when we look back, he was an extraordinarily effective character actor, but he couldn't play a hero. He couldn't play...
All right, enough. This sounds like another show for Cinema Classics.
Absolutely. Well, how'd you derail me? We were talking about Scorsese.
Because you talked about...
Now
Daniel
you got me
Day-Lewis.
Talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And I can cut all this out because we really should do a show on Philip Seymour.
We should. Maybe that's it. That's next.
Yeah.
All right.